Campaign 76, three important primaries. I'm George Herman, CBS News.
And I'm Neil Strauser, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. California, New Jersey, and Ohio. These three big primaries together will elect more than a quarter of the Republican delegates needed for nomination, more than a third of the Democratic delegates. So far, CBS News estimates Democrat Jimmy Carter and President Ford the winners in Ohio. Carter, the winner of the so-called beauty contest in New Jersey. But here is a possible setback for Carter in his drive for the nomination. CBS News estimates that Carter has lost the at-large delegate race in New Jersey to the Humphrey Brown slate. We'll come back to that New Jersey story. First, George, the Ohio story.
Well, that story, Neil, is a 2-1 victory for Carter over Udall, with Church behind Udall. CBS News estimates a final result showing Carter with something around 55% of the vote, Udall with 22%, and Church with 13%. Ohio is particularly important for Morris Udall. This was his last chance to win a primary, and he gathered all his experts for the try. It was also a major headquarters for all the Stop Carter movement. But with or without Frank Church, Udall lost and Carter won again. And so we turn to our CBS News elections consultant, syndicated columnist Neil Pierce, and ask him, how does Carter do it, Neil?
Well, it's hard to say in a capsule. Certainly the vote pattern in Ohio shows Carter scoring one of those across-the-board victories that he was enjoying before Brown and Church began to nip at his heels in the May primaries. He had massive victories in every geographic section of Ohio, except the Cleveland area, and even there he showed a comfortable lead over Morris Udall. Big cities and rural, small-town areas showed an overall lead of almost 60% for Carter. Udall did somewhat better in the suburbs, as he has in many areas around the country, but even the suburban vote went for Carter. Of course, it was a different picture, as you've mentioned, in New Jersey, where that uncommitted slate is showing a win over the Carter slate. But Carter could take some comfort from having a major victory in the non-binding preference vote in New Jersey. And in that preference vote, the Carter vote shows a pattern by geographic region, sort of consistent wins across the state, quite similar to the win in Ohio.
In New Jersey, President Ford was alone in the beauty contest primary, the non-binding part of it, and Ronald Reagan entered no authorized delegates in the delegate primary. So most of the delegates being elected are sure to favor Mr. Ford. They are running as regular Republicans, as a slate. The Democratic race, of course, it's a bit confusing, as we've tried to say. Jimmy Carter won the beauty contest part of the primary, but Morris Udall wasn't in that. Neither was that Humphrey Brown slate, which appears to be defeating Jimmy Carter in the race for delegates at large. And we have figures on that. It looks like 43% for the uncommitted slate, which is endorsing Humphrey and Brown, 27% for Carter. Jerry Landay, our Eastern Regional Correspondent, perhaps you can help straighten out some of the confusion in New Jersey.
Neil, the New Jersey Democratic ground rules are not exactly a model of clarity. There is, as in most primaries, a presidential preference or beauty contest. The results there have little meaning tonight, as was pointed out. The only two active major candidates in the beauty contest, Carter and Church, and Church didn't campaign in the state. Carter has the preference race virtually to himself. Then there is a totally separate primary vote for Democratic delegates having nothing to do with the beauty contest. And here's where the story is. New Jersey is the eighth largest convention delegation with 108 votes. They are selected, those 108 delegates, on three tiers. Carter and Udall and a so-called uncommitted slate of Humphrey and Brown backers are the three important factors in this three-way race. Each was running slates in each of 40 state senatorial districts. Each was running statewide slates of 10 members divided proportionally according to the total delegate vote cast. And the state committee will apportion 17 more delegates according to the total vote cast at a later date. Now, they're the mathematicians. I turn it back to you.
Well, that leaves us running a little bit out of time, Neil, and we haven't even gotten to California yet. In California, CBS News' New York Times survey shows that Ronald Reagan and Governor Edmund Jerry Brown, two local boys, I guess you'd say, two local governors and ex-governors, are ahead in the presidential primary, and when it comes to...
That's what we judge from the way they're running on the issues and the qualities and that sort of thing.
Very well. And as to the senators?
As to the senators, it would appear that... John Tunney is running ahead in his race for renomination. S.I. Hayakawa is running ahead. That, again, is from the survey. Senators elsewhere, Howard Metzenbaum has won the Democratic nomination in Ohio, we estimate, and Harrison Williams, the Democratic renomination, in this case, in New Jersey. And in Ohio, it would be Metzenbaum running against Robert Taft in the November race. Campaign 76, three important primaries. With George Herman, I'm Neil Strauser, CBS News.
KNX News Radio Update, the world, the nation.
President Ford has won the New Jersey primary and is ahead of Ronald Reagan in pivotal Ohio. Mr. Ford was unopposed in New Jersey. Jimmy Carter also won the New Jersey popularity contest against only minimal opposition from Senator Frank Church. But Carter's stiffest test is the race for New Jersey's 108 delegates, where he ran against a slate of uncommitteds pledged to Governor Brown and Hubert Humphrey. Unofficial vote tallies now show that Governor Brown, a write-in candidate, won 11 delegates in Oregon's Democratic presidential primary, not just 9. The Federal Power Commission has ruled out construction of the proposed High Mountain Sheep Dam and 2 competing proposals on the Snake River between Oregon and Idaho. And the House Rules Committee has decided to bypass the House Administration Committee, headed by Congressman Wayne Hayes, in setting up funding for the Hayes sex scandal probe. KNX News Radio time, 7 o'clock.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Harry Burrell in KNX Election Central. At this time, KNX News Radio begins its continuous coverage of today's primary election in California. This evening's broadcast is being sponsored by The Akron, with 19 stores in Southern California to serve you. Throughout the course of the evening, you'll be hearing reports from KNX News Radio reporters, as well as updates from CBS News on the balloting in Ohio and New Jersey, which also held primary elections today. KNX News Radio is geared to bring you the fastest and most comprehensive coverage of the California voting. KNX News Radio reporter Boyd Harvey will be covering President Ford's election headquarters at the Los Angeles Hilton Hotel. You'll hear reports from Ronald Reagan's headquarters at the Ambassador Hotel from KNX News Radio reporter Ann Kestner. Miriam Bier will be covering the events at Governor Brown's headquarters at the Los Angeles Convention Center. Jimmy Carter's election headquarters are set up in the Palladium, and KNX News Radio reporter George Martin is covering that scene. John Goodman and Pete Moraga will be covering the headquarters of Senator John Tunney and his challenger, Tom Hayden, respectively. Reporter Goodman will also be keeping up to date on events at the headquarters of District Attorney John Vandekamp. Jake Jacobs will be broadcasting from the Ambassador Hotel, covering the 3 Republican Senate candidates, Robert Finch, John Harmer, and S.I. Hayakawa. Of course, all of the vote tabulations from Los Angeles County will be coming from the Vote Tabulation Center, and that, as in past KNX election coverages, is being manned by KNX News Radio reporter Jerry Laird. Mike Landa will be moving in the field this evening covering the propositions. Dennis Bracken and Barry Rode will be heard with interviews and sidelights to the balloting. And throughout it all, joining me here in KNX Election Central will be Alex Sullivan, keeping us abreast of statewide balloting and what it all means. It promises to be an interesting evening, and you'll hear it all right here on KNX News Radio. And now let's start going around, checking in at the different headquarters and see what's going on. First of all, to the headquarters of Ronald Reagan and KNX News Radio reporter Ann Kestner. Ann?
Well, Harry, Reagan campaign personnel arrived in the embassy room of the Ambassador Hotel in downtown Los Angeles early today. 45 minutes before this broadcast, the Secret Service sealed off the room, which meant we had to get out while a thorough search was made. 2 German shepherds trained to sniff out bombs were used in the search. I'm doing this report right now from a payphone in the hotel lobby, because the KNX broadcast booth is in the ballroom, which is still sealed off. Security, as you can imagine, is very tight, and it will be even more so when candidate Reagan arrives here later this evening. This is the first time in 8 years that the embassy ballroom has been used as an election night headquarters for a presidential candidate. The last time was in June of 1968, and the candidate was Democratic Senator Robert Kennedy. I was here that night, and I must say there's a sharp contrast in the security then and now. On the night Kennedy won the California Democratic presidential primary, news reporters, campaign workers, and the general public were allowed to go in and out of the embassy ballroom virtually at will. I recall wearing a small blue and white pin which said Kennedy Election Press. It was supposed to be a special credential, but as the night wore on, it was ignored. Many of us here that night remarked how loose the security seemed to be. Tonight is another story. Our broadcasting equipment, my typewriter, files, tape recorders, are all being searched at this very moment. News personnel are wearing special credentials with the pictures on them. We'll be here throughout the evening with the latest developments from Reagan headquarters. And this is Ann Kestner at the Ambassador Hotel. Now back to KNX Election Central.
All right, very good, Ann. We'll be checking back with you later. Now let's check in with the headquarters of Robert Finch and KNX News Radio reporter Jake Jacobs. Jake?
Harry, the mood here at the election night headquarters of Republican senatorial candidate Robert Finch is about what one would expect this early in the evening. A few of Finch's aides are here decorating the room with one huge picture of the candidate and just literally dozens of smaller campaign posters of Finch and the traditional balloons that are stock in trade of election night folderol. However, the candidate is not here. Finch is teaching a 7 o'clock political science class at Pasadena City College. He is expected to arrive here at headquarters at around 9:30 this evening. But the mood here is good, the optimism high, predicated primarily on the last California poll over the weekend, which showed Robert Finch running a neck-and-neck race with another GOP senatorial contender, S.I. Hayakawa, the former president of San Francisco State University. Finch and Hayakawa were deadlocked at 28% in the poll. Republican Congressman Alfonso Bell of Beverly Hills placed third with 20%, and former California Lieutenant Governor John Harmer of Roseville, California, bringing up the rear on the Republican side with 8%. So on the strength of that tie with Hayakawa going into today's election, Finch aides are waxing optimistic. They point to polls which show that Finch had lost his standings as front-runner to Hayakawa early on in the campaign, with the two showing a draw on two earlier polls. Finch is betting on his experience in government, and much of his campaigning have been centered on his years in public life, having been elected California Lieutenant Governor with Ronald Reagan in 1966, then accepting a Richard Nixon appointment as Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare. And Finch boasts of having the support of every segment of the Republican Party, having been a Republican Party member all of his political life. And with that kind of support from the entire spectrum of the party, Finch says he's the only Republican senatorial candidate with any chance of beating Democratic Senator John Tunney in November, that assuming that Tunney defeats challenger Tom Hayden at the polls today. This is Jake Jacobs at the Ambassador Hotel, now back to KNX Election Central.
Thank you, Jake. What makes California politics the most interesting phenomena of all? KNX News Radio reporter Dennis Bracken answers that question in the following report.
What's in a name? In California politics, quite a bit, evidently. The name Governor Brown now spans two generations, father and son. Ronald Reagan is a name quite familiar in the long ago upon a theater marquee. But tonight, paternal instinct and showbiz find an interesting phenomenon beyond the headlines of the presidential primary. For example, Romer Dimely, elder brother of our present Lieutenant Governor Mervyn Dimely, is a Democratic candidate for assembly here in Los Angeles. But Merv Dimely is supporting his brother's opponent, incumbent Assemblywoman Teresa Hughes. In the San Joaquin Valley, Duke Zenovich, a brother of veteran State Senator George Zenovich, is campaigning for an Assembly nomination in one of 22 open districts where there is no incumbent. But Brother George says he's neutral in the race because Brother Duke's rival candidate is Brother George's Senate aide. Then there's Maude, whose recent TV episodes revolved around an unsuccessful attempt to win Maude a state Senate seat. Bob Schiller is the producer and writer of that show. Now, in real life, Sabrina Schiller, actress and consumer advocate, is seeking a state Senate seat. As a matter of fact, it was her campaign in real life that inspired Maude to try it on TV. As Sabrina hopes to write a happier ending to her attempt than her husband saw fit, though, to befall Maude. Now, these particular political trials may not capture the headlines of this evening, but they certainly help make California the most interesting part of the anatomy of the body politic. Dennis Bracken, KNX News Radio.
And now, this word from our sponsor, the Akron.
Akron is the first and original something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
You never know what pleasant surprises you'll find at your local Akron store, and that's part of what makes Akron shopping such an adventure. For example, if you visit the Akron tomorrow, you'll find the famous Crockery Chef electric slow cooker on sale. The slow cooker is the very popular friend of every kitchen for gourmet stews, casseroles, sauces, and soups. Save money, too, because the slow cooker's lower wattage reduces energy usage, and its longer cooking time enables you to slowly fully tenderized, less expensive cuts of meats. The Akron's original price was $11.99, but save $3 on this good-looking, practical slow cooker, yours for just $8.99. At this low price, they'll fly out fast, so hurry. There are 19 Akron stores throughout Southern California. See the big, beautiful Akron ad in tomorrow's Los Angeles Times for more great money-saving values from around the world. Remember, that's at the Akron.
The first and original something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
Now let's go to the Hyatt Regency, to the headquarters of Senator John Tunney and KNX News Radio reporter John Goodman. John?
California's junior senator is seeking his second term in the upper house after defeating Hollywood song and dance man George Murphy 6 years ago when he made his bid to move up from Congress. Tunney is actually now fighting more for his political life than anticipated when the campaign began, and like his major Democratic opponent, has spent close to $1 million now in his campaign to return to the Senate. The senator's campaign people claim that, according to the Congressional Research Service at least, Tunney is the most effective senator of all of those who entered the Senate with him, that was 6 years ago, by having more legislation signed into law than any other freshman senator, exceeding the average by a factor of more than six. The senator has had 79 bills, resolutions, or amendments passed the Senate, 42 of them which became law. Senator Tunney, like his major Democratic opponent, concedes he has changed his mind on some of the major issues over the years, and one of those major issues is health care. Tunney acknowledges his decision to drop support for Senator Edward Kennedy's national health insurance bill, contending it is too costly at this point and would not really guarantee any improvement in health care. Tunney has also called for defense budget cuts, claiming there is too much gold bricking in the Pentagon, although he does maintain his firm support for the controversial B-1 bomber project, which would pour untold treasury and jobs into California. What might be designated the highlight of the campaign came over this last weekend when Senator Tunney and Tom Hayden squared off in a long-awaited broadcast debate. That debate on the issues where charge and countercharge were hurled came only after Hayden, though, had apologized to Tunney for remarks he had made during the campaign that Tunney felt were uncalled for, unfactual, or unfounded. Hayden has shown surprising strength during the last few weeks, with the latest polls showing that he continues to close on the incumbent, with only 7 percentage points separating the pair up until last weekend. And if that poll would continue to maintain the speed that it has over the last several weeks, that would make them close to a dead even heat as the polls opened this morning here in California. The campaign headquarters here at the Hyatt Regency Hotel right now is like any other campaign headquarters just after the polls close and before things get going. Nothing is going on. The balloons have been blown, the bar's been set up, the podium's been decorated, the media is waiting, and the floor is empty. All we need now are some vote returns to start coming in and some supporters to start coming in and awaiting what they hope at least is going to be a champagne victory celebration later on this evening, and return Senator John Tunney to the Senate of the United States. This is John Goodman at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. Now back to KNX Election Central.
Well, John, as you indicated, the evening is young as yet. California Governor Edmund Brown Jr., whose Democratic presidential campaign headquarters have been established at the Los Angeles Convention Center, he is not there yet, but KNX News Radio reporter Miriam Bier is. Let's have her report now. Miriam?
Well, Harry, the cavernous convention center could have been the scene of the Democratic convention this summer. The media reportedly favored this site for its facilities, but Madison Square Garden in New York was chosen, and tonight California Governor Brown, who never exactly encouraged the idea of a Los Angeles convention, is holding his victory celebration here instead. The Brown campaign has had a reputation for a Spartan quality, but tonight a press room above the main floor party room features a table laden with sandwiches and drinks, and the few members of the campaign wandering upstairs early in the evening have exclaimed over the comparative luxury of the arrangements. The main hall at this hour, of course, is nearly empty with television crews testing their equipment, and you may be able to hear the band from time to time practicing. A few knots of people watching monitors for early returns from the east. Governor Brown is expected to win the line lion's share of the state's delegates, of course, and speculation centers over his comparative strength vis-a-vis former Georgia Governor Jimmy Carter. Speculation has grown that a harmful division could mark the Democratic Party if Carter wins a substantial number of delegates going into the convention, say 12 or 1,300 of the 1,505 needed to since the nomination, and yet is still denied the standard-bearer's role by the party. Governor Brown's press secretary, Fred Epstein, one of the first campaign officials arriving here tonight, tells KNX News Radio, the assessment on pressing Carter further will have to wait beyond tonight.
I don't think there's any magic to the numbers. I mean, if you say 194, 213, or you know, I mean, you can throw out just about anything. I think it's going to become clear in the weeks ahead what the thrust of things is. If Governor Carter succeeds well today in various primaries, then people will assess that, and that will become obvious in the weeks ahead. If, on the other hand, he doesn't do well, that will become obvious, and things that he would want to happen won't happen, and the race will remain open. Governor Brown got into the race because it was open. It is open now. We expect it will remain open, and the governor has indicated he will continue to contest the nomination right up until the convention. We don't see anything right now that will change that. If that situation changes, then we'll take a look at it.
Tonight, in other words, you don't expect to be sort of a make-or-break night in the way it could be, let's say, from Ronald Reagan.
No, definitely not. We're leaving tomorrow at 1:40 for New Orleans, and we're going to Boston and Hartford and St. Louis, and those are our plans, and we're going to do that, whatever happens. And I think, Pennsylvania was supposed to be the big watershed in this primary. Everybody thought it was all locked up then, and we've had quite an active race since. And if you look for those kinds of climactic, one-shot situations, I think you find usually you're disappointed. It just doesn't happen that way. That's just not the way politics is.
Fred Epstein, press secretary to California Governor Brown. Brown himself now is at a reception for large contributors at the Biltmore Hotel and is expected here at his victory party about 10 this evening. This is Miriam Vieira at the Los Angeles Convention Center. Now back to KNX Election Central.
Thank you, Miriam, and we'll be checking back with you shortly. The most controversial of the Los Angeles County propositions on today's ballot are propositions R and T, which would establish a 232-mile fixed rail rapid transit system. KNX News Radio reporter Beach Rogers has a look at the plans.
Proponents envision one of the fastest transit systems in the world, featuring modern red and silver trains flashing around the sprawling metropolitan area at speeds up to 85 miles an hour. There would be three types of trains: locals, interurban, and an airport line. The roadbeds would be built on freeway medians and shoulders, as well as on railroad rights of way that already exist and on flood control embankments. A fleet of 1,000 cars on routes stretching from Santa Monica to Pomona, from San Fernando to San Pedro, would make up the Sunset Coast Line. Opponents call the plan the Great Train Robbery and maintain the only practical way to serve the sprawling metropolis and connecting communities of Southern California is by bus. They say the cost of the Los Angeles train transit system would not be the $6 billion estimated by proponents, but more like $14 billion. Los Angeles voters are being asked to impose an extra penny of sales tax to finance the system. Half a cent of the tax would be lifted after the system is constructed. Projections call for construction of 89 miles of track by 1984, with 50 miles operational. Voters rejected rapid transit proposals in 1968 and 1974. Backers say they can muster the votes this time because of the large number of cities served by the system. They also view propositions R and T as the last chance for rapid transit in Los Angeles, both politically and financially. A city whose world-recognized symbol is the automobile and the freeway. This is Beach Rogers, KNX News Radio.
You're listening to KNX News Radio's election coverage, sponsored by the Akron.
Akron is the first and original, something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
Wherever you live in Southern California, there's an exciting Akron store near you. Shopping is fun at the Akron, with new and surprising items from all over the world greeting you every week. But did you know that your Akron store also has a huge selection of well-known health and beauty aids for the entire family? Yes, the Akron is your headquarters for furniture from the Orient and glassware from Europe. But you'll also find Listerine and Bufferin and Pepsodent and Breck Shampoo and Noxzema on the Akron shelves, along with the other famous brand names you've used for years. The Akron has just reduced its prices on dozens of health and beauty aids to save you even more. So make it a point to visit the Akron this week and amble through their health and beauty aid department. And for more exciting values, see the Akron ad in tomorrow's Los Angeles Times. There are 19 Akron stores in Southern California, open 7 days a week.
The first and original, something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
Now let's go to the Los Angeles Hilton Hotel, the headquarters of President Gerald Ford, and KNX News Radio reporter Boyd Harvey. Boyd?
Thank you, Harry. The polls are still open, and from the way the voting has been going in the Southland all day, that's where the people are. They certainly are not here at the Ford election night headquarters, at least not yet. The Ford campaign people have chosen the Los Angeles Hilton for their election night headquarters. They have the hotel to themselves when it comes to candidate headquarters. At the moment, we have the Pacific Ballroom to ourselves, except for some band members who are warming up their embouchures, and for some bartenders who are warming up their wrists, I guess. They're waiting for some customers. The president will not be here this evening, so that makes it a little easier to move around, bring equipment in and the like. The tedious searches by the Secret Service are not a part of this night, at least. This is a rather strange election night also, for the focus at the Ford headquarters is not in California, but in the other two states where primaries were held today, Ohio and New Jersey. The latest California poll, taken just days before the primary, showed that Ford's opponent for the Republican presidential nomination, the former governor of California, Ronald Reagan, still had a commanding lead here in the West. And in California, a win by just one vote is as good as a win by 100,000 or even a million in the Republican primary. It's winner-take-all, and Reagan hopes to pick up all 167 delegates, and that'll put him just about even in the delegate count with the president. The Ford campaign people have made brave talk about the president still having a good shot in California, and maybe he does, if the voter turnout is as heavy as the figures at mid-afternoon indicated. Most political observers have felt that a light turnout among California Republicans would benefit Reagan, since he has a solid base of support here. So naturally, the Ford camp is happy to see a large turnout. And if that turnout is large enough, and if enough of that large turnout is Republican, the president still might have a chance, in spite of trailing Reagan by some 15% in the last public opinion poll. Ford could, by some remote chance, therefore, pick up all the undecideds, and that would make it a horse race. Ford, of course, got an early start in California when most of the top Republicans, at least the top elected Republicans, got on the Ford campaign committee early. The top elected Republicans in the Senate, Evel Younger, the Attorney General, and the head of the Republican caucus in the California Senate, Dennis Carpenter of Newport Beach, co-chair the President Ford California campaign. And both Attorney General Younger and Senator Carpenter have said right up until the last that the president does have a chance. Both have said they feel that even without California, Mr. Ford can get the nomination in Kansas City, but both admit it will be much harder. And so tonight there is some tension and an air of expectancy, but most people at this headquarters are more interested in victory elsewhere. Across the way, some of the volunteers are blowing up some balloons. The Ford people are hoping that the president's balloon will not burst here in California. If the president does well in California, we may hear from him by telephone at about 9:30 this evening. This is Boyd Harvey at the Los Angeles Hilton Hotel. Now back to KNX Election Central.
Thank you, Boyd. Former Georgia Governor Jimmy Carter has set up his headquarters at the Hollywood Palladium, and KNX News Radio reporter George Martin is there. George?
Things are rather preliminary here at Carter headquarters at the Hollywood Palladium. Orchestras and bands warming up. There was a delegate total board posted with nothing on it but headings reading New Jersey and Ohio. And a short time ago, we talked with a campaign worker who was very busy.
I'm Fred Monroe, and I'm blowing up balloons.
Okay, what are you blowing them up with, Mr. Monroe?
Nothing but plain old compressed air.
I noticed that these balloons are just sitting here on the floor. They're not immediately rising up to the ceiling, as one might expect.
Well, we're not using helium for the simple fact that we we're led to believe that if we had them on the ceiling, we might have trouble getting them back down again.
I can see that that might be a problem. Do you have any up there, or will you have any up there that will be dropped down at some appropriate moment?
Not that I know of, no. I think we probably will be tying some up there or taping some up there. But they're primarily as a decoration. And as you can see, Linda's over there, taping them on the edges of the podium. And we have about 500 of them, which I think ought to keep us busy for a little while.
They're just plain green and white balloons. Is there any significance to the colors?
Well, the green and white are the campaign colors for this campaign.
Green and white, the colors of the campaign. Green is, we understand, candidate Carter's favorite color. Charlotte Scott, another campaign worker, joined the campaign in an interesting manner. How did it come about, Charlotte?
Well, I was a newscaster in Portland, Maine, and I interviewed Jimmy a couple times, and I finally said, all right, I give up. What can I do with a campaign? So I was put on the national press staff, and that's going back quite a way, November, I believe it was, and I've been working ever since.
Immediate enthusiasm. What do the Carter campaign people look for in California?
Anything we can get. We're optimistic. We hope we can get some delegates out of California. Over the whole evening in all the states, we hope for about 200 delegates to add to our total.
Well, you probably have them at this point. Have you gotten an assessment of that?
I heard we've done very well in Ohio. I don't know how many delegates that means. New Jersey's kind of up in the air, can't seem to find much out about it. And here, of course, polls haven't closed yet.
Can you tell us what's going to happen here tonight?
I wish I could. I wish I could look in the crystal ball. And I guess voter turnout's been very heavy because of all the local referendums and whatnot. The last poll I heard was Jimmy had about 20%. I do believe we'll do better than that.
I was thinking in terms of what the plans were for the celebration at the Palladium. The victory, Californians for Carter is the big sign. It's not billed as a victory celebration, but...
I hope we'll have a lot of fun. It's the last stop on the campaign for me until the convention, and everybody here's been working very hard in California, so it just looks like a lot of music and a lot of peanuts cracking.
Where's the candidate himself?
He's down in Atlanta right now. He'll be going home to Plains about midnight. Plains is a town of about 600 people, and they have the railroad station decorated, and they're ready for him.
Charlotte Scott of the Carter Campaign with me here at the Hollywood Palladium. This is George Martin. Now back to KNX Election Central.
And this is Harry Burrell in KNX Election Central reminding you, for your shopping convenience, the Akron is open 7 days a week. Now, joining me here in Election Central, KNX News Radio reporter Alex Sullivan. Alex?
Well, Harry, President Ford has won the New Jersey primary and is ahead of Ronald Reagan in Ohio. Ford was unopposed in the Garden State of New Jersey. Late indications are from NBC and CBS, they estimate that President Ford and Jimmy Carter as the winners in the Buckeye State, Ohio primary election. NBC called the state for Ford and Carter at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and both men have taken leads in the early returns from the state. And ABC has forecast that Jimmy Carter will be the winner of the Democratic presidential primary in New Jersey. This is the popular vote, but yet to be determined are the actual delegates. And Carter is seeking to nail down the Democratic nomination on the first ballot, edging ahead of Morris Udall and Senator Frank Church in the state of Ohio. KNX News Radio will be keeping up to the minute on California results as they start coming in later in the evening. Meanwhile, in L.A. County, by 7 p.m., officials in the Registrar Recorder's office say that 57.5% of the county's registered voters had gone to the polls, and this compares with 44% in the 1974 gubernatorial election, and 60% for the same hour in the last presidential primary in 1972. Thus, the voter turnout in the big California Super Bowl primary election appears to be much higher than the 69.5% that had been predicted by Secretary of State March Fong Yu. Riverside County, as an example, Harry, reported a whopping 50% turnout by 2:30 this afternoon. Polls will be closing at 8 o'clock after 13 hours of balloting. Stay tuned to 1070 for latest results.
Thank you, Alex. Many candidates on the ballot today, also many propositions, and while by far the most publicity on the propositions has been focused on number 15, there are important matters in the other 14 also. KNX News Radio reporter Phil Reed examines some of them.
Of course, Proposition 15 has created the most controversy. It would place stringent limits on nuclear power plant operations over the next several years unless they can prove effectiveness of safety, waste storage, and disposal systems for nuclear fuels and wastes. The legislative analyst says the cost of electricity would probably rise, and overruns of testing and evaluation will almost surely exceed the amount appropriated. Utility districts may experience a loss of investment. Proposition 2 is the largest individual item. It would raise $500 million to further finance low-interest Calvet loans for home and farm purchases. The bonds would be repaid by purchasers. Proposition 5 would make it easier to raise bank and corporation taxes by dropping the percentage of votes in the legislature from two-thirds to one-half to pass such a measure. Proposition 1 would provide a $200 million bond issue to finance construction or improvement of school buildings under a lease purchase agreement. Proposition 10 would allow the state legislature by a two-thirds vote to issue refunding bonds to refinance any outstanding California debt without voter approval. Proposition 8 would empower the legislature to place public monies in savings and loans as well as banks. Proposition 6 would cut out the insurance company home office tax advantage that has caused some companies to headquarter in this state. Proposition 9 would allow the legislature to permit cities and counties to allow bingo games for charitable purposes. Proposition 11 would give public agencies the right to use surplus land from street improvements for parks. Proposition 7 would allow counties to drop the tax value of historically significant land when approved by the legislature. And Proposition 13 would allow lawmakers the freedom of postponing senior citizens' property tax bills until sale of their home or disposal of their estate. Phil Reed, KNX News Radio.
Akron is the first and original something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
Why not visit your nearest Akron store tomorrow and pick up a 16-piece set of American Ironstone dinnerware? 16 pieces for just $5.99. Now, these are slight irregulars, but you'll never tell. They're pretty enough to serve at your best dinners, but practical enough to use every day. The 16-piece set consists of four dinner plates, four salad plates, four cups, and four saucers in lovely matching designs. At the exclusive Akron price of just $5.99 per set, you can afford enough pieces for even the largest plan. Colorful, durable, delicious. This 16-piece set was originally $8.99, now just $5.99 at the Akron. Make the Akron your shopping headquarters. There's an Akron store near you wherever you live in Southern California. And look for the exciting Akron ad in tomorrow morning's Los Angeles Times. Open every night till 9, Sundays till 7.
The first and original something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
You're listening to KNX News Radio's election coverage, sponsored by the Akron on KNX Los Angeles. This is Harry Burrell in KNX Election Central. Now, a minute out to check on what's going on around the world. The will of J. Paul Getty, reputed to be one of the world's richest men, has been filed for probate in Los Angeles, and his estate was valued at more than $1 million without specifying the exact total. A former attorney general indicted in an alleged Los Angeles ambulance-chasing ring has been ordered to pay $40,000 restitution to a State Bar Association client fund. The former lawyer is 51-year-old Gene Cannon of Monterey Park, who appeared in Los Angeles Superior Court. There have been more calls for a ceasefire in Lebanon, but the bloodshed goes on. At least another 100 persons have died in warfare in the nation, where Syria now has doubled the size of its invasion force. Israel has vigorously denied that its war planes flew into Lebanon. The House Appropriations Committee has rejected a Senate proposal to hold off on providing money for the B-1 bomber until next March. Secretary of State Kissinger has sharply criticized Chile's military regime for its tactics aimed at holding down dissent. The most optimistic assessment to come out of the 2 days of meetings in Washington is that the United Rubber Workers strike could be settled before the end of the summer. In baseball tonight, the Angels lost in New York to the Yankees 4-2. KNX News Radio weather, variable cloudiness tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday, not much temperature change. Overnight lows in the upper 50s, the highs both days near 70. Here in Hollywood, it's now 58. Now, let's go to Jerry Laird at the Los Angeles County Vote Tabulation Center. Jerry?
Well, we have a candidate, Harry, here for the quietest place in town, anyway, right now. All is in readiness, though, to begin counting ballots shortly after 8 o'clock when the polls close. Bill Homer of the Registrar Recorder's Office says turnout is right on the forecast target.
Projection of 70 to 75% still stands.
Do you have any reports from the field yet as to what kind of requests in the way of numbers there have been for the Spanish language ballots?
No, not yet. That'll be collated probably toward the end of the week. They don't have any time right now to do it. They're trying to get the ballots downtown.
Has there been any problem in the field with the Spanish language ballots?
We haven't uncovered a problem today.
Of any kind?
With the Spanish language ballot.
What about any other kind?
Oh, a couple of snags, but when you've got 2.7 million registered voters and an estimated 2 million or more who are going to vote, you're going to have a couple of minor problems.
Bill, the registration is down from last year, last couple of elections. Why is that?
After the 1974 general election, all the voter registration files in the state were revised. People who didn't vote were sent a special card saying, do you want to remain on the registration rolls? A number of people didn't, so the registration went down from 3.2 million to the current 2.7 million.
So that means actually 70% of fewer people are voting.
That's right.
What, describe for us, if you will, the process of how the ballots are going to be gathered from around the county and brought here and counted.
The ballots are taken from 8,002 precincts in Los Angeles County. They're taken to 82 check-in centers around the county. From those check-in centers, they go to the Great Western Exhibit Center in the City of Commerce. That's where all the ballots are checked to see that they're not damaged. They're also taken to a special computer room at that Great Western Center. The paper ballot votes are transcribed onto computer tape, a magnetic tape. That tape is then taken to the county's data processing center at Downey, where it's put into a machine, and they get the final printout with the results of the election.
Our location here.
Right.
What does it look like as far as getting results through the evening are concerned? What kind of timetable are we looking at?
They're looking at about 8:15 to 8:30 for the absent voter count. About 9:45 to 10 o'clock is when we should be getting the regular recurrent precinct returns, and we should be getting updates on that about every 20 minutes up through and including about 4 or 5 in the morning when they figure they'll have the final count.
Any idea when we'll have a substantial number of the ballots counted so that we'll know pretty well where we stand on the various races?
Should be right around midnight.
Bill Homer of the Registrar Recorder's Office. We'll be here through the night with complete returns of all the key races, including District Attorney and the Rapid Transit ballot measures. This is Jerry Laird at the County Vote Tabulation Center in Downey. Now back to KNX Election Central.
Thank you, Jerry. Tomorrow, the Akron will reduce its prices on dozens of health and beauty aids to save you even more. Only at the Akron for the exciting values. Now, joining me once again here in KNX Election Central, KNX News Radio reporter Alex Sullivan. Alex?
With us, Harry, is Mervyn Field, director of the respected California Poll. All eyes today will be on that very vital U.S. Senate race in California, Mr. Field, and your poll has shown that Tom Hayden has been slowly creeping up on incumbent John Tunney through the week, surprising Tunney to the extent that Tunney started to fight back for his political life. Your latest poll shows that Tunney had 48%, Hayden 41%, 11% undecided. Did this surprise you as a statistical person?
Well, I'd say the late drive that Tom Hayden has put on is remarkable. I think in the 30 years that I've been polling in California, I haven't seen a situation where someone started as far back as Tom Hayden and to come so close. And what was interesting, last week he was gaining increasing momentum. He was still 7 points behind as of last Saturday. But we looked at our data in respect to where the vote was coming from, and we saw a very unique situation in respect to age. If you take people under 35, they were heavily for Tom Hayden. If you took people over 50, they were heavily for John Tunney. In that middle age group, they broke marginally for John Tunney. And what we know from the past experience is that despite the enthusiasm and the energy that the young people might put in campaign working, they still do not have that habit of going out and voting, and they generally vote disproportionately less than they should. So Tunney, going into the election, has the edge in that he's appealing to the more confirmed voter, the older voters who are used to voting, who have lived in the community, know where their polling place is, and have that habit of voting, as against Hayden, who is basing his drive on the young voter.
On the Republican side, some tried and true names, Alfonso Bell and Robert Finch, John Harmer, and out of the pack, a dark horse, formerly a Democrat, S.I., call me Sam Hayakawa. Now, why is Sam doing so well?
Well, he has a lot of appeal. He erupted on the scene about 6 or 7 years ago in one dramatic moment when, as president of San Francisco State College, in a student demonstration, leaped on that sound truck with his tam o'shanter cocked on his head and pulled the wires of that sound truck, and that got him overnight celebrity status. He was a Democrat. He still thought of as a liberal, but our polls show that he had across-the-board support and winning very heavily in our polls in Northern California and doing reasonably well in Southern California, and this is why he was leading.
We have this very unusual situation this year, Mr. Field, of proportional representation and the vote being divvied out by congressional districts. But for a lot of voters today, their votes will go down the drain, won't they? Because if their candidate doesn't get 10%, it'll be spread out with somebody else.
That's right. Any if Church, Senator Church, or Congressman Udall, or Governor George Wallace, or any of those candidates, or Ellen McCormick, get less than 10% in any CD, they will not be able to get any delegates.
Do you feel that this is going to cause, after the election is over, cries to have some changes, maybe a winner-take-all in congressional districts, as opposed to this statistical breakdown?
Well, winner-take-all in congressional districts would not cure it. One of the biggest problems you have in having a true proportional representation system, the Europeans have monkeyed with proportional representation for hundreds of years, and it's incredible how you can jigger it in a way to favor one man over the other. It's very, very difficult to have true proportional representation when you get down to a finite group of delegates.
On the Proposition 15 race, we've seen several millions of dollars coming into California from utilities and industries elsewhere on the East Coast trying to defeat Proposition 15. And do you feel that the state Supreme Court decision, which lifted the spending limits, apparently based on the First Amendment freedom of speech, if that had remained, would it have made any difference or not in terms of the poll showing on 15?
Well, I know some people will dispute my views on this, but I feel that the tide in respect to Proposition 15 was already in motion. It was heavily toward the no vote before the full weight of the disproportionately more money that the no side had.
What about the presidential side of the race here in California in regard to Carter and Brown? Do you have any expectations on how well Jimmy Carter will do against the Brown bandwagon?
Well, our poll showed last week that it looked like Jerry Brown and Jimmy Carter would divide all the 280 delegates because they are the only ones that had the best chance. It's possible for some of the other candidates in one CD or possibly to eke out one or two delegates. Our poll showed that Brown was was leading at least by 2-1, 2.5-1. But when you start dividing the delegates, you have another peculiar situation occurring. The way the Democrats will divide the delegates will favor Carter a little in the breakage. It's a complicated subject. I don't think we have enough time for me to describe it now, though.
Your poll, your most recent poll, showed that Governor Reagan had 52% versus 35% for incumbent President Ford. And we have seen the president's campaign take the gloves off and hit hard at Reagan for going to start a war in Rhodesia and these commercials, which are very, very abrasive in the last few days. Will this have an effect, do you think, in the final total, Mr. Field?
When you have events like the statements made by Ronald Reagan, it takes a while. You need a few days or a few weeks for it to have a full impact on the electorate. I think that occurred at a time when the Republicans had made up their minds in which way they were going to go, and I don't think it's going to have a profound effect. It might have a marginal effect on the outcome, but not a great deal of outcome.
Thank you very much, Mervyn Field. He'll be back this evening, throughout the evening, to update us, give us reaction on as the vote totals come in.
Thank you very much, Alex and Mervyn Field. This evening's election coverage on KNX News Radio is sponsored by the Akron.
Akron is the first and original something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
Yes, the Akron is a something for everybody out of the ordinary store, and that makes Akron shopping such an enjoyable habit for thousands of Southern Californians week in and week out. Are you in the market for a nail keg, for example, one of those fetching little barrels that traditionally hold thousands of carpentry nails? You might decide to use them as patio stools or as mini tables to contain a child's toys or even to hold nails. They're about 18 inches high and a foot in diameter, brand new, made of pine. You may want to varnish them or paint them in cheery colors or leave them just as they are. They're yours at the Akron for just $5.99 each, so why not drop in and pick up one or two or more? Usually they're very hard to find, but not surprisingly, you can find them at your nearest Akron store at just $5.99. With Father's Day coming up, isn't the Akron the best place for you to shop?
The first and original something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
All right, Senate candidate Tom Hayden has set up his headquarters at the Robert Young Auditorium, and there is KNX News Radio reporter Pete Moraga. Pete?
Well, Harry, the crowd is still thin at this time here at the Roger Young Auditorium, but the mood is already festive. and that is due to the confidence in victory held by those who worked on the Tom Hayden campaign, as well as the decor here at the auditorium. The main ballroom here is dressed up with red, white, and blue balloons, all the work of volunteer workers under the direction of Miriam Lowenkron.
We've been very lucky during this campaign because we've had really, really a lot of volunteers. We've had a well-coordinated office that's been run almost entirely by volunteers, and they've also come and helped on all of the events that we've had. And we had approximately a staff of 10 people here today putting up signs, blowing up the balloons, putting up the streamers, putting up the bunting, tying the balloons, picking the balloons up off the floors, you name it, they did it.
What sort of a group do you expect here tonight?
Well, I would say probably from 400 to 1,000 people. I think it really depends on what happens in the results, but we really expect at least 400 or 500 people.
I assume Tom Hayden will be here during the evening, but who else will be accompanying him at this celebration?
Yes, Tom will be here, absolutely, along with his wife, Jane Fonda. And we also have entertainment by Holly Neer and Jeff Langley, who will sing. And we expect to have surprise appearances by some of the celebrities who've been very supportive of us during the campaign, what we call our regulars. People who have been with us, such as Mike Farrell, who walked the state of California with Tom, and John Voight, who's been to many of our fundraisers, Tony Franciosa, who also has done television and radio spots for us, Henry Fonda, Sally Kellerman, who sang at one of our events, Ronnie Blakely, who also sang, possibly Susan St. James might be here, a number of other people.
You mentioned the campaign now. How has it been? Has it been an exciting experience? It certainly was one conducted by somebody who at first wasn't expected to be this serious a candidate.
Well, the campaign has turned out to be very exciting. I think that it was really very much uphill. Tom used the metaphor of Sisyphus pushing the rock uphill and having it keep rolling back on you, which was very apt. Until about April, it was 15% to 58 for months and months and months. And then we started climbing in the polls. And the last poll, which was taken by Mervyn Field this weekend prior to the debate, showed us at 41 to 48. And we think that since the debate, we probably have come to perhaps 48 even, and tonight we're pretty sure we're going to win. And so we're very excited.
Ms. Lowenkron says she expects the rafters to shake here because they do expect Hayden to win. From the Roger Young Auditorium, this is Pete Moraga returning you to KNX Election Central.
Thank you, Pete. There are two measures on today's Los Angeles ballot affecting the city's school district. KNX News Radio reporter Walt Hoffman has a rundown.
One of the propositions, C, would increase the number of school board members to 9 from the current 7, with each member representing a designated geographic district rather than all of them being elected at large, as is the current practice. Voter approval of Proposition C would mean a return to the structure in effect prior to 1904. Proponents of the change say it would make board members more responsive to school problems in their own districts. Opponents say election by districts would politicize board members, prompting them to press for advantages for their local schools rather than the district as a whole. They also say increasing the size of the board would increase expenses without increasing the quality of education. The other school board measure, Proposition K, would permit the district to increase the property tax rate by 28 cents per $100 of assessed value, raising the maximum rate for the school district to $5.66. Supporters say it is needed to maintain quality education in times of inflation. Critics say the money is not needed, and better use of current funding would accomplish the same purpose. School officials estimate approval would cost the owner of a $40,000 home about $23 more per year in taxes. Simple majority votes are required for passage of both Proposition C, a larger school board elected by district, and Proposition K, a 28-cent tax override. Walt Hoffman, KNX News Radio.
Thank you, Walt. Now let's check in with the headquarters of Alabama Governor George Wallace on Western Avenue and KNX News Radio reporter Mike Lenda. Mike?
Well, Harry, except for a couple of volunteers, the Wallace campaign headquarters is virtually empty. The trappings of a political election night vigil are here, red, white, and blue bunting and a large drawing of an American eagle. The only missing element is people. Southern California coordinator for the Wallace campaign is Charles Pitchford, who is realistic about his candidate's prospects in California.
Well, we don't expect to make a landslide, but we do expect to get some delegates. How many, I don't know, but we expect to get something.
For what would that mean in the overall scheme of things at the convention? Would there be any role, do you think, for the governor to play, even though he hasn't had that big a showing?
Oh, yes, very, very definitely. I believe that he'll be in a position to get a platform, I think, that will conform to his wishes. That's the thing that he's more or less concerned with. It's what he's always been concerned with. He doesn't expect to get the nomination. His name may be placed in nomination, but his chance of getting it, he doesn't expect to get it. But he feels with enough delegates that he'll be in a position to bargain and get a decent platform out of the convention.
What happened to the Wallace constituency of 1972? How do you account for the loss of support?
Well, it's not so much a loss of support. Well, incidentally, he hasn't been able to get out and flail his arms around and walk around through crowds like the other guys have. And then, of course, recently it's been a money problem. I mean, they've been pretty... they just haven't had the money for the last couple of 3 months.
Charles Pitchford, Southern California coordinator for the George Wallace campaign. From Wallace headquarters on Western Avenue, Mike Landa, KNX News Radio.
Thank you, Mike. Now, once again, here in KNX Election Central, KNX News Radio reporter Alex Sullivan. Alex?
President Ford and Jimmy Carter, Harry, have taken one-sided leads in the important Ohio primary. That's a strategic battleground in their campaign for the presidential nomination. And both Ford and Carter also swept New Jersey's preferential election. Carter moved far ahead of two liberal challengers, Arizona's Morris Udall, Frank Church of Idaho, as the vote started coming in from Ohio. And President Ford, desperately trying to turn back Ronald Reagan's conservative wave, took an even bigger lead over the former California governor in the Buckeye State. Reagan is favored to take all 167 delegates in California as the results come in tonight. Carter swept to an easy one-sided victory in New Jersey's beauty contest primary, but his more serious challenge is coming in the race for the 108 delegates. And there he's pitted against an uncommitted slate, which is backed by California's Governor Edmund Brown Jr. and Hubert Humphrey. And at this hour, Carter is leading for enough delegates to give him more than 1,000 toward that magic 1,505 needed to clinch the nomination. President Ford, by the way, was unopposed in New Jersey's popularity primary today, and an uncommitted slate of 67 delegates, most of them President Ford's, at his bidding, is headed for a statewide sweep in the Garden State. In fact, CBS forecasts at 9:37 p.m. Eastern Time that the uncommitted slate of delegates in the Jersey Democratic primary would wind up with 41% of the vote. Uncommitted coming out ahead, topping 30% for the slate for Jimmy Carter. As we mentioned, those uncommitted delegates are favoring either Humphrey or Governor Brown. And with Jimmy Carter way out in front in the Ohio Democratic primary, Morris Udall says he's congratulated him on what Udall termed a solid victory and a brilliant campaign. Udall said Carter is now the heavy favorite to win the nomination.
Thank you, Alex. Now a word from the winner on both sides of the political fence, the Akron.
Akron is the first and original something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
With Father's Day almost here, make the Akron your gift-buying headquarters. Thousands of Californians have discovered the Akron has the most unusual, unconventional, yet desirable gift selection at prices well within the range of even the most modest budget. With 19 stores in Southern California, there's sure to be an Akron near you. There are three in the San Fernando Valley, in Burbank, Tarzana, and Granada Hills. And did you know that Orange County has an Akron store in Anaheim and another in the city of Orange? Every Akron store has a large men's clothing department. And if you're looking for Father's Day gifts, search no more. They're preparing some sensational Father's Day promotions for next week, well worth waiting for, or drop in and see what's in store now for the man who enjoys casual wear at very casual prices. Tags. You're sure to find that for Father's Day or any day, the Akron is the most interesting store in town.
The first and original something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
And this word just into KNX Election Central, Arizona Representative Morris Udall has conceded defeat in the Democratic presidential nomination sweepstakes. He's losing to Jimmy Carter in Ohio and has called the former Georgia governor, a quoting now, heavy favorite for the nomination. Udall said he intends to support the party's nominee, but will fight for inclusion of several pet reforms in the party platform. Now let's go to the headquarters of Ronald Reagan and KNX News Radio reporter Ann Kestner. Ann?
Harry, here at Ronald Reagan's election night headquarters at the Ambassador Hotel, there's music, as you can hear, from a young rock band. There are lots of news reporters and technicians and a few Reagan campaign workers. Most of the activity will take place in a couple of hours, though, after the polls close and the crowd awaits the arrival of Ronald Reagan in person. The Reagan campaign headquarters in Los Angeles is on Wilshire Boulevard, not far from the Harbor Freeway. And right across the street is the Ford campaign headquarters. The mood in the Reagan campaign headquarters has been one of unbridled optimism. Such was the case when Reagan's national campaign director, Nevada Senator Paul Laxalt, stopped by earlier in the week. I asked Laxalt what he viewed as the keys to a Reagan victory in California.
Well, the ingredients are the same as they are in every campaign, only more so in a big state like California. You have to have a candidate. You have to have adequate financing for media, probably more so than any other state. And you have to have a very strong organization. We think that all those elements have been strongly present here in California.
Governor Reagan has been reluctant to predict victory here in California. But are you?
No, I'm not as reluctant as him. I've felt all along, and I'm somewhat prejudiced in the situation, that if we were going to win two states, one would be Nevada, my home state, and the other would be California, his home state. And I feel, and particularly after having worked the state the last few days, that we're in good shape here in California. I've tried to be realistic about it. I've been in almost all the primary states, and I can honestly say at this point, California feels as good as any state I've worked.
What do you think is President Ford's weakest factor in the election in California?
Well, I think the fact that he's not a Californian contributes greatly. There's a lot of the factors present here that we found in Michigan. There's a home state flavor in both of these states, and Gerald Ford does not have an image, a close image here in California. He's a distant figure. He hasn't been in the state all that much, and Ronald Reagan, on the other hand, served as governor and is well known here and is considered by Californians to be one of their own.
One final question. At this point, what would you say is going to happen at the Republican National Convention?
I think it's going to be extremely close. I think it's going to be very exciting, and I think Ronald Reagan will be nominated.
And in November?
I think Ronald Reagan will be elected.
That was Senator Paul Laxalt, who is national chairman of the Reagan presidential campaign. And this is Ann Kestner at the Ambassador Hotel. Now back to KNX News Central.
All right, Ann, thank you. And let's hopscotch now from the Ambassador to the L.A. Hilton, the headquarters of President Ford, and KNX News Radio reporter Boyd Harvey. Boyd?
And Harry, the volunteers in the Ford for President campaign are still on the job since the polls are still open. The job, of course, has been to get out the vote, according to Alice Ogle, a co-chairperson of the Ford campaign in Los Angeles County. Ms. Ogle says the volunteers are still hard at work in the phone banks, one of which is right here in this hotel.
We have a definite phone pitch we use. We're all trained at the beginning when we started this in April. The training session started in April. And then you call and you identify yourself. Like I say, I'm Alice Ogle, a volunteer for President Ford. And would you mind telling me if you plan to vote for President Ford on June 8th, primary election day? And on the whole, most people are very polite and say, yes, I plan to vote for President Ford, or no, I'm not, I'm voting for Governor Reagan. Or quite often, 30% is what we have found, have said, I haven't decided yet.
Ms. Ogle said she noticed a surge in favor of the president in the final days of the campaign. She's very hopeful that Mr. Ford can come from behind here in California. But whatever the outcome in California, she's also confident that she and the other volunteers in this Ford campaign will be doing the exact same thing in the fall, working for Gerald Ford as he tries to win a four-year term in the White House on his own right. This is Boyd Harvey at the Los Angeles Hilton Hotel. Now back to KNX Election Central.
The polls in California close in just 5 minutes. It promises to be an interesting evening. Interesting things are also going on at the Akron.
Akron is the first and original something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
You never know what pleasant surprises you'll find at your local Akron store, and that's part of what makes Akron shopping such an adventure. For example, if you visit the Akron tomorrow, you'll find the famous Crockery Chef electric slow cooker on sale. The slow cooker is the very popular friend of every kitchen for gourmet stews, casseroles, sauces, and soups. Save money, too, because the slow cooker's lower wattage reduces energy usage, and its longer cooking time enables you to slowly
fully tenderize less expensive cuts of meats. The Akron's original price was $11.99, but save $3 on this good-looking, practical slow cooker, yours for just $8.99. At this low price, they'll fly out fast, so hurry. There are 19 Akron stores throughout Southern California. See the big, beautiful Akron ad in tomorrow's Los Angeles Times for more great money-saving values from around the world. Remember, that's at the Akron.
The first and original something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
What do sweet little old ladies, bored pensioners, and the neighborhood priest have in common? KNX News Radio reporter Dennis Bracken has the answer.
I-19, G-50, B-12, bingo! At present, the call of those letters and numbers are done in a whisper, as it were. But the outcome of the vote on Proposition 9 tonight could well bring bingo out into the open spaces of church parking lots and playgrounds. As it is now, Grandma and Grandpa, and most especially the neighborhood priest, have to wrestle with their conscience every time a fundraising event employing bingo comes to light. Proposition 9, if passed, would amend the state constitution and allow the legislature to legalize bingo on a county-by-county basis. Backers contend it would legalize a harmless game and let the police pursue real lawbreakers. The most catchy bumper sticker of the campaign reads, quote, "Legalize bingo. Keep Grandma off the streets," unquote. Several hard-pressed Roman Catholic parishes feel the money from legal bingo could solve their money problems. Critics of the proposition, and among them several legislators, contend that legal bingo could open the door to infiltration of the games by organized crime, and perhaps by others who would take advantage of a legal game of chance, particularly one involving many senior citizens. A large turnout by Southern California's senior citizens at the polls today could result in a landslide, and not to mention, as one parish priest phrased it, the help from a higher authority, assuming those prayers will be answered. Dennis Bracken, KNX News Radio.
And again, KNX News Radio reporter Alex Sullivan. Alex?
Well, even before the votes are counted, Harry, in today's primary contest, there are some winners we can tell you about. Believe it or not, these are the incumbent members of Congress who have no opposition from within their own party and so have a free ride until the general election in November. In Los Angeles County, the Republican Barry Goldwater of Woodland Hills. His district takes in a part of Ventura County. Democrat James Corman of Encino. Republican Carlos Moorhead of Glendale. Democrat Yvonne Burke of Los Angeles. Democrat George Danielson of Monterey Park. Republican Del Clawson of Downey. Democrat Mark Hannaford of Long Beach. And Democrat Jim Lloyd of West Covina. And finally, Republican John Russell of San Marino. Not only was an automatic winner in today's Republican primary, but because no Democrats filed to run against him in November, he is automatically elected to another term. And that's what you call easy politics. In Los Angeles County, there are five incumbent state senators who are facing no opposition from within their own party. So in a sense, they've already won at today's primary. Their opposition will come in November general election. State senators are Democrat David Roberti, Republican H.L. Bill Richardson of Arcadia, Republican Bob Beverly of Manhattan Beach, Democrat Bill Green of Los Angeles, Republican George Duke Majan of Long Beach.
Thank you, Alex. KNX News Radio reporter Alex Sullivan. And by the way, from time to time, you may note a particularly fast sound in the background here in KNX Election Central. It's the sound of our high-speed data print National Election Service teletype. It prints out information for us at the astounding rate of 1,200 words per minute. Standard speed for a teletype for years was 60 words a minute. So you can see how much faster our figures are coming out tonight on the NES or National Election Service wire here at KNX and will throughout the evening. It's right here in the studio with us, along with our standard AP, UPI, City News, and AP Election Wire machines, all designed to help us, along with the radio's most complete field staff, to keep you informed tonight on the election here in California. It's 8 o'clock. The polls have closed. You're listening to election coverage here on KNX, Los Angeles, sponsored by the Akron. Now a minute out to bring you up to date on what's going on around the world and here in the Southland. Los Angeles police say robbery may be a motive in the apparent murder of an 83-year-old woman who was found with her throat slashed in a downtown hotel. A Los Angeles federal court commissioner has postponed until Friday a deposition session requested by Japanese prosecutors into alleged payoffs by the Lockheed Aircraft Corporation. In Virginia City, Nevada, a preliminary hearing into the Oscar Bonavena killing has adjourned after testimony from two men who placed the death weapon in the hands of 31-year-old Willard Ross Reimer. A 15-man group from the Vietnam Veterans Against the War has occupied the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. Police say the group is protesting the cutoff of GI Bill educational benefits. After 16 roll call votes today, the Senate adjourned with still no decision on a controversial antitrust reform law. The session turned into a shouting match as tempers flared. No injuries have been reported in a strong new tremor in Italy's region of Friuli, where a devastating earthquake took nearly 1,000 lives just 1 month ago. The House Interior Committee has voted 34-5 to ban new mining claims in Death Valley and five other units of the National Park System. KNX News Radio weather, variable cloudiness tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday. Not much temperature change. Overnight lows in the upper 50s. The highs both tomorrow and Thursday near 70. Here in Hollywood, it is 58. Now, let's go to the Hyatt Regency, the headquarters of District Attorney John Van de Kamp and KNX News Radio reporter John Goodman. John?
John Van de Kamp is seeking election to the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office in his own right after being appointed to that position by the Los Angeles Board of Supervisors last fall following the death of Joe Bush. Now, Van de Kamp, who has served as an assistant U.S. attorney, U.S. attorney, federal public defender, and now as district attorney for the last 8 months, began reorganizing the nation's largest prosecutorial office immediately after his appointment, carrying out some of his own ideas to improve efficiency as well as the administration, while at the same time initiating outside independent audits of certain divisions of his office to determine how best to improve their capabilities. Van de Kamp says he has no complaints about the way that his own individual campaign has been conducted.
Well, I'm relatively pleased about the way our campaign was conducted. I think we stayed on the issues. We tried to avoid personalities, tried to talk about the things that were going on in the office, and I think those were the important things to the voters. Hopefully a campaign can illuminate issues and let people decide who is the better candidate. I regret to say that the entire campaign, when you view everybody as a whole, really didn't get to a lot of the underlying issues. They got sidetracked, and I think some spurious allegations regarding statistics. You know, clearly a campaign about criminal justice has plenty of issues that can be developed, you know, on all sides. And I guess the only regret that I have is that the opposition, perhaps because of lack of money, perhaps because of lack of inclination, really didn't raise too much in the way of choices.
If he had it to do over again, he would like to see some things go differently.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I think we did about as well as could be expected. I had tremendous handicaps in some ways, and I guess some advantages in others. The handicap being that I came into office an unknown in October. I had to reorganize the office, run the office, try to organize a campaign, be a campaigner, raise the money that's necessary for a countywide campaign. Those are five big jobs all at one time, and I think the message that we had came out relatively cleanly. And, you know, when all things are said and done, you can think of all the problems that, you know, could have happened. I think we did relatively well. Now, how the voters are going to respond tonight, of course, tells the ultimate tale, and we're hopeful. I think we're relatively confident that we're going to come out ahead. What the percentages are going to be, we don't know.
Van de Kamp is confident of winning, and he is also optimistic that he's also going to get that 50% plus one vote that would put him into the winner's circle during the primary election, and he would not be forced into any runoff election with one of the other top vote-getters of the five that are running against him. There are six people seeking the district attorney's office, five men and one woman. Van de Kamp says what he feels when it comes down to the actual ballot, when the voter goes into that booth, he decides on who to vote for on the basis of experience and integrity. Because voting for district attorneys, says Van de Kamp, is really like hiring your own personal lawyer. You must have the rapport, and you must have the vibes, and they all have to be right. And he says that's really not a bad way to go. This is John Goodman at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. Now back to KNX Election Central.
Thank you, John. Tomorrow's special at the Akron, the famous Crockery Chef electric slow cooker on sale for only $8.99 at the Akron. Again, KNX News Radio reporter Alex Sullivan. Alex?
The polls have closed, Harry, in California after 13 hours of balloting to select the nation's biggest presidential convention delegations. Going into today's balloting, former Governor Reagan and current Governor Brown were considered by the pollsters to be the favorites in their respective parties' presidential voting. and 15 initiatives also on the ballot, the one attracting the most attention, Proposition 15, to decide the fate of nuclear power in the Golden State. Jimmy Carter has won the Ohio Democratic primary. Carter has about 53% of the vote, and Morris Udall 19%. Frank Church was getting about 13% in Ohio. Udall said he has congratulated Carter on what he termed a solid victory. And he said that Carter now is the heavy favorite to win the Democratic presidential nomination. Looking at how that popular vote translated into delegates, Carter picked up 104 delegates based upon the latest totals we have, 20% of the precinct so far, showing Carter with 104, Udall 20, Church with 1, and Wallace with 1, and Lewis Stokes, Congressman Stokes, with 5. Taking a look at New Jersey, where the vote totals are still being tallied, we see that the uncommitted delegation is leading in New Jersey with 35% of the vote on the Democratic side, followed by Jimmy Carter with 33%, George Wallace 10%, Senator Frank Church 7%, Ellen McCormick 4%. As far as delegates go in New Jersey, the vote totals so far, 14% of the precincts counted, show Carter has 29, putting him in second place of that uncommitted delegation, which is leaning towards Senator Humphrey and Governor Brown. Governor George Wallace with 3, and Church was shut out with Udall picking up 2 delegates so far in New Jersey, according to the early returns. Jumping back to the Buckeye State of Ohio, President Ford is steamrolling through Ohio with 55% of the vote. Governor Reagan has 45%. This is with 20% of the precincts in Ohio, or about 2,500 reporting. While there's only a 10% difference between the popular vote of Ford and Reagan, it makes a large difference in delegates, because 82 are pledged to President Ford and only 3 to Governor Reagan in Ohio if the trend continues there. The voter turnout today in San Diego County as of 7 o'clock tonight was 66%, and this compared with 64% 4 years ago. The San Diego County voter registrar, Robert Denny, is predicting a final turnout today of almost 74%. The predicted turnout in the county is slowly but steadily dropping, figures based on 36 sample precincts. And L.A. County, according to the returns coming in at 7 o'clock tonight, showed the turnout ahead of the 1974 gubernatorial election. Now back to Harry.
Very good, Alex. Thank you very much. Now, this word from the Akron.
Akron is the first and original something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
Wherever you live in Southern California, there's an exciting Akron store near you. Shopping is fun at the Akron, with new and surprising items from all over the world greeting you every week. But did you know that your Akron store also has a huge selection of well-known health and beauty aids for the entire family? Yes, the Akron is your headquarters for furniture from the Orient and glassware from Europe. But you'll also find Listerine and Bufferin and Pepsodent and Breck Shampoo and Noxzema on the Akron shelves, along with the other famous brand names you've used for years. The Akron has just reduced its prices on dozens of health and beauty aids to save you even more. So make it a point to visit the Akron this week and amble through their health and beauty aid department. And for more exciting values, see the Akron ad in tomorrow's Los Angeles Times. There are 19 Akron stores in Southern California, open 7 days a week.
The first and original something for everybody out of the ordinary store.
Now let's go to the Ambassador Hotel, the headquarters of S.I. Hayakawa, and KNX News radio reporter Jake Jacobs. Jake?
They were original. The polls in California have just closed, and just what the results will be in terms of a victor in the GOP senatorial race is not even a matter of conjecture at this point in time. Going into today's balloting, it was a dead heat between candidates Robert Finch and S.I. Hayakawa in the California polls released over the weekend. Congressman Alfonso Bell was third, and former Senator and Lieutenant Governor John Harmer was fourth. Hayakawa was a late starter in the campaign and one of the lesser known in Republican circles. Formerly a Democrat, Hayakawa has been a Republican for only about 2 years. Other Republicans point to this, what they call deficiency in his political credentials. Hayakawa is better known as the man, then president of San Francisco State University, who had an eyeball-to-eyeball confrontation with student radicals at SFU. All of the Republican senatorial candidates espouse conservative themes, so there is little difference there. Well, where is the difference, if any? Earlier, KNX News radio reporter Mike Landa put that question to Hayakawa.
some of the basic differences between candidates have been their personalities. And I think that, especially with television as one of the media, the sense of the personality of an individual becomes more important because you see his face and watch, you know, every iota of his facial expressions and his gestures and so on. So personality does become more important, except I didn't get on television at all this time, so, except the news stories, of course.
Were you particularly upset, Dr. Hayakawa, by having opponents raise the question of your age?
Oh, no, goodness, I wasn't upset at all. I expected it and have been handling it. I've said all along that the important fact about your age is simply how old you are between the ears. And I know a lot of people who are 27 years old who are older between the ears than I am.
Republican senatorial candidate S.I. Hayakawa. This is Jake Jacobs at the Ambassador Hotel. Now back to KNX Election Central.
Thank you, Jake. Certainly, the most controversial state proposition on today's California ballot is Proposition 15, the Nuclear Power Plants Initiative. KNX News Radio reporter Beach Rogers has a look at the measure.
Proposition 15 has clearly generated the most publicity among the 15 statewide ballot measures. It would prohibit construction of new nuclear power plants in California unless utilities prove the safety of their huge billion-dollar nuclear reactors and assume full financial liability in the event of a release of deadly radioactivity. Opponents insist that safety precautions already reduce the chance of an accident to one in a million. There are three nuclear power plants in California. They generate about 5% of the electric power used in the state. Four more reactor units are under construction at two plants, and others are planned. By June of 1977, the power output of these nuclear plants would have to be reduced to 60% of their licensed power level unless the federal limits on liability are removed or the operators waive the liability limits. The California State Legislature has already passed, and the governor has signed into law, three bills which were designed to counter Proposition 15's stringent requirements, replacing them with milder restrictions. A key difference is that existing plants at San Onofre, Rancho Seco near Sacramento, and Humboldt Bay would not be affected, nor would other units now under construction at San Onofre and the Diablo Canyon near San Luis Obispo. Passage of Proposition 15 would nullify the three new laws. Proposition 15 was placed on the ballot by a petition drive led by environmental and public interest groups. It has been vigorously opposed by utilities, the Ford administration, including the president himself, and powerful segments of organized labor. It is the first deep sounding of public sentiment about commercial use of the atom and could prove a bellwether for the rest of the nation. This is Beach Rogers, KNX News Radio.
And now let's return to the Los Angeles Convention Center, the headquarters of Governor Edmund Brown Jr. and KNX News Radio reporter Miriam Beer. Miriam?
Well, Harry, the Los Angeles Convention Center hall can't exactly be called cozy, and its cavernous spaces are only spottily filled with clusters of campaign workers gathering to enjoy an expected Brown California victory, some media technicians adjusting equipment for transmissions later, and a band which a few minutes ago struck the most interesting note of the evening in the echoing hall when it played Sweet Georgia Brown with Sweet Jerry Brown, the words being sung in honor of the occasion. The California governor himself won't arrive until about 10 this evening. Right now, he's at a reception for large contributors at the Biltmore Hotel. Speculation has grown that California's 38-year-old Governor Brown might back off from a fight to the finish against the Jimmy Carter candidacy for the Democratic nomination if Carter makes a strong showing in today's final three primaries. But the results so far this evening from New Jersey, at least, apparently have given heart to Brown aides for continuation of their effort after this evening votes are counted. An uncommitted New Jersey delegation, in a somewhat confused situation, is claimed by Hubert Humphrey and Governor Brown forces in New Jersey and is reported leading Carter so far. Tom Quinn, who managed Brown's campaign for the California governorship, now is the state's Air Resources Board chief. Quinn accompanied Brown to New Jersey yesterday, and he tells KNX News Radio he was astounded at the positive response to Brown there.
Tonight's results, if they look the same later on, the same way they do now, I think indicate that Jimmy Carter cannot win that nomination on the first ballot. That if Jerry Brown continues to go around the country and pick up delegates, there's no way that Jimmy Carter will come up with 1,505 delegates. I just don't believe it's possible at this point. For him to have such a resounding defeat in New Jersey, I think, indicates a serious weakness in his candidacy. And if Governor Brown wins here in California, by the margins being forecast, if he gets more than 50% of the vote, that's going to be the largest victory that we've ever had in a Democratic primary in California. And even though he's governor, one would suspect that if Jimmy Carter is a viable candidate who really does have appeal in large, diverse states such as California, you would think he'd do much better. And I think this indicates a serious problem. His win in Ohio, I think, indicates that he's very strong when compared to Frank Church and Congressman Udall. But that's all it proves.
Tom Quinn, the state's Air Resources Board chief, here at the Brown campaign quarters. This is Miriam Bier at the Los Angeles Convention Center. Now back to KNX Election Central.
Very good, Miriam, where KNX News Radio reporter Alex Sullivan has more. Alex?
Harry, we have some very preliminary returns in exactly one precinct reporting across the state of California. Here's how it breaks down in the Democratic presidential slate. It shows Governor Brown 69%, Jimmy Carter 13%, Senator Frank Church 12%, Congressman Udall 4%, Alan McCormick 1%, Senator Fred Harris 1%. This was one precinct across the state of California. Taking a look at delegates is how that would translate out if that trend remained the same throughout the long evening. It would show Governor Brown with 54, Jimmy Carter with 11, Senator Frank Church with 10. Taking a look at the Republican side, this with three precincts counted in California. It shows Governor Reagan 53%, President Ford 47%, and of course this being the winner-take-all would give all the 167 to former Governor Reagan. In the senatorial race, it shows with only three precincts coming in so far, incumbent Senator Tunney with 65% and challenger Tom Hayden 35%. Obviously a very preliminary indication this early in the evening. On the Republican side of the Senate contest, we see that S.I. Hayakawa 58%, followed by Alfonso Bell 19%, and Robert Finch with 18%, John Harmer 5%. This is three precincts of the tens of thousands across the state. And that's an initial inkling of perhaps how we'll see some of the trends going on later on this evening. Harry, the vote turnout has been heavier than expected in many counties, including Los Angeles and San Diego, as the close race, the U.S. Senate, as well as the battle over Proposition 15 brought people to the polls.
Thank you, Alex. Now let's check in with the headquarters of Jimmy Carter at the Palladium and KNX News Radio reporter George Martin. George?
The room is beginning to fill up here at the Hollywood Palladium, and it looks as if it really is a campaign headquarters on election night rather than as a place getting ready to be one, which it was when we last reported to you. With me, State Treasurer Jess Unruh, who has been on the Carter bandwagon since how long?
Well, actually, since the Maryland primary. I endorsed Governor Carter very shortly after Senator Jackson suspended his campaign. I was originally Senator Jackson's state chairman in this state, and it appeared to me that Governor Carter was the closest to Senator Jackson in both his views and experience, and as a consequence, when Senator Jackson suspended his campaign, I endorsed Governor Carter.
Do you see California making any contribution to that mythical 200 figure that might push your candidate over the top?
Yes, I think we'll get a sizable block of delegates out here. It's too early to predict because of the very difficult way of apportioning delegates in California. We have actually 43 different races, one in each congressional district, and then the at-large vote, which pertains to 25% of those delegates, so it's a little too early to predict yet, but we'll make some contribution. Unfortunately, I think not as large as the state would have made. I think the state might have been in a position to put Governor Carter over the top, except for Governor Brown's late candidacy.
Do you see anything that can stop him at this point?
No, I do not. I think he is will be the nominee, and I think it's about all over except the shouting and the crying.
Are you going to be taking an active part in the campaign following the primary?
Well, I'll do whatever Governor Carter wants me to do. The campaign after the primary is going to be a very interesting campaign between this date and July 12th when the Democratic Convention opens, because it will now go to caucus states and to picking up individual delegates one by one or in small blocks. So, yes, I intend to do some telephoning and some help in acquiring those delegates to make sure we have a good, solid victory in New York.
Are you anticipating any move in any direction for you in connection with the campaign?
No, I have no plans, no thoughts. I consider myself to be a latecomer to this campaign. I'm very pleased and happy to be supporting Governor Carter because I think he was a fine governor of Georgia, a very vigorous utilizer of governmental power in reshaping the bureaucracy there and reforming the tax structure and doing the other things that I think and believe a governor ought to be aggressively involved in.
One of the knowledgeable men of California politics, State Treasurer Jess Unruh. At Carter headquarters at the Hollywood Palladium, George Martin. Now back to KNX Election Central.
Thank you, George. And again, KNX News Radio reporter Alex Sullivan. Alex?
The actual raw vote total is very small so far, Harry, but we do have with us Director Mervyn Field of the California Poll, who perhaps could offer us some estimates on the way it may be going later in the evening.
Well, we have some indications from a number of sources. And the way it appears that in the Republican presidential race, Ronald Reagan is winning by a large margin. In the Democratic presidential race, Governor Jerry Brown is winning by a large margin. In Proposition 15, that measure appears to be going down to a defeat. The no side is winning in that. In respect to the Democratic senatorial race, it appears that the late Tom Hayden surge, which was evidenced last week, may have fallen short. Right now, it appears that Tunney has a slight lead over Tom Hayden. In the Republican senatorial race, Hayakawa is leading in that field.
Thank you very much, Mervyn Field, and he'll be back later on this evening with more projections on how things are going with the totals.
Thank you, Alex, and Mervyn Field.